Music from Juliana Hatfield right there. That's Everybody Loves Me But You, played off of her Gold Stars collection that came out back in 2002. Wow. It's another one of those doesn't feel as old as it is albums, for me at least. Before that, we heard Steam Powered Giraffe doing Honeybee. That's a single of theirs. And we had Atoms for Peace before that doing Before Your Very Eyes. That's from their new album, Amok. Well, Friday night, there's a lot going on in the Miami Valley. As always, it's First Friday, and be sure to tune in to Around the Fringe. Rev Cool will be giving you updates throughout the night on all the great things happening around downtown Dayton. One show in particular is definitely worth checking out. It's over at South Park Tavern. Our good friend Todd the Fox is going to be playing with Ghost Wolves. They hail from Austin, Texas, and are making their way through the Midwest on a nice little summer tour. I caught up with Johnny, one of the duo, and we chatted a little bit last week about the band and where they're going and what you're going to see when they visit the Miami Valley. So we're going to hear a little bit of that conversation right now, and then we'll hear some music from Ghost Wolves. Tell me a little bit about how you and Carly got started playing together and formed Ghost Wolves.
We were both musicians playing for other people. Carly's a bass player and a guitar player and a piano player. I played drums, and I had been playing for a couple different bands, and she had been playing for a couple different bands. We met at a music festival called the Kerrville Folk Festival. We were attracted to each other, and we started dating. And then eventually our band sort of fell apart, and we decided that we wanted to start our own band together because we never got to hang out, you know, being on the road all the time. So it was a nice way for us to be able to spend time together. And we, you know, both really respected each other as musicians, so it was a kind of obvious choice at that point.
Does being a duo, I imagine you have to be really in sync with each other. How does that translate to your writing process?
Well, let's see. It translates pretty easily. We kind of tend to write songs either starting our own ideas separately and then bringing them together, or sometimes we'll just be hanging out and one of us will have a little verse or something and the other one will help finish it and throw a couple of lines in or a melody. I think that we both like a lot of the same kind of music. We were both playing a lot of more acoustic music previously, and we had always been growing up listening to rock and roll and rockabilly music, and so we both share a love for it, so it's a good it's already a good fit in that way, and so we were already interested in the same stuff, and so writing those kinds of songs kind of comes to us that way.
In talking about being interested in kind of that rock and roll rockabilly sound, who are some artists that are inspiring you guys or that you were listening to at the time saying, man, I'd really like to be doing something like this on stage and in a recording setting?
Okay, well, when we first started with bands like The Cramp, there's a rockabilly guy named Ronnie Dawson who passed away, but he was around in the 50s. He was from Dallas. He was really a big inspiration when we started. We listened to a lot of hill country blues, like Mississippi Hill Country, R.L. Burnside, the Fat Possum catalog. We were into all of that stuff. And we actually covered a lot of those songs when we started because we didn't have our own songs yet. So we just started by playing. And a lot of those hill country blues guys played as duos. Now we listen to a lot of Black Sabbath. We've gotten into more heavy stuff recently, so we've kind of been going back and listening to some of those records, and those are some bands we really like.
Do you think in listening to the heavier Black Sabbath, do you feel like you're gonna trend towards a heavier direction in your music, or haven't thought that far ahead yet?
Yeah, we have. Well, we cut a record earlier this year, and we started using bigger amps. And we had always been into heavy sounds, but this year, like, we started getting into bands like Jeff the Brotherhood, who's a duo from Nashville, and they play with that, like, really, like, low-endy, drudgy kind of fuzz guitar tone. And so, yeah, I think that definitely our tones are getting heavier as we progress. And I think a lot of that just has to do with the gear we're using compared to when we started. We're using heavier, bigger amps. So which is what you want when you're in a room and there's like 50 to 100 people who are already ready to party, and you know there's no bass player, so you have to really project a lot of tone into the crowd, a lot of volume, and a lot of, and not just volume, but just a full range, low to high.
Well, and I would have to say for a duo, it probably feels like even more pressure, you know, with only two people to fill that room up with sound as much as possible, as opposed to, you know, a big full band where everyone's like, oh, there's like five or six people on stage. Of course, they're going to be loud.
Yeah. I mean, definitely it can come off that way. And we've seen a lot of duos that they don't fill up the room. And when we started, that was a big challenge. And so we've made put a lot of time into learning about gear, and also you can do things like how you play the drums can make a big effect on how the guitar projects to the room. So like if you're playing a lot of crash cymbals and open hi-hats and thrashy sounds, which I did a lot when we started, it tends to cover up the guitar, and now all you're really hearing is drums. So that was something I had to learn, was playing softer on the cymbals, playing tight hi-hats for all the different grooves, and that helps give the guitar more room to fill the sound that she's trying to put out. And you know, just working with bigger speakers, not necessarily louder, but just fuller. You know, bigger speakers push more air, and there's like, we use 15-inch speakers now in our cabinets, so that has a lot to do with it too. But yeah, it's always been a challenge, but we like that. We like the challenge. So.
And when you're taking that sound into a recording setting, like with your most recent album, how do you guys tackle recording? Are you parsing everything out? Are you going basically live to tape so you can capture that live feeling?
This last record we just did our first full length, and that was a new experience. Previously, we had done it mostly live. Now, this time we did the drums and the guitars live together, but the amp and the drums were in two separate rooms, but we were in the same room together. So she was playing her amp, but the amp was separated from the rest of the instrument. And it was in a very large room with room mics and close mics, like four or five different microphones on a 215 cabinet. And that really gave us the power to mix the amp how we wanted to hear it. And then we would go back and sing on top of the bed that we had laid, the bass tracks. But all the drums and guitars are always done live together. That's how we get capture our energy. I think the best way to do that. You know, when we sent the record to get mastered, the mastering engineer in California actually made a comment about how much of the bass player we had included on the record, like how high the bass had been mixed. And our engineer had to tell them, there's no bass player on this record. It's actually just the guitar the guitar tone we got. It's just, and it really is, I think, more than anything we've recorded before, we captured that gigantic, like, arena monster rock guitar, you know, which is what we were hoping for. So that was really exciting to get that playback and hear it.
You're coming to Dayton kind of in the middle of quite a large, or quite a busy tour schedule, I have to say. Is your plan, once you get back into Texas in the fall, are you guys going to be gigging around locally, or going back into the studio, or just taking a little rest?
Yeah, we're actually going to be going out to the West Coast after we come through Ohio, and so we'll be in the West Coast for most of the fall. So I'm still booking more tour dates out there, but after that, we'll come back for the winter time in Austin. So we will be back around Christmas, and we will be, we'll be playing locally, playing around Texas. You know, there's some good shows you can do. I mean, Texas is almost its own touring circuit for a lot of musicians. Don't ever leave and have a great following. So we'll go back and play in Texas and then get ready to release the record in 2014. That's the plan.
Very nice. Does having, you know, a pretty decent touring circuit in your own state, do you feel like that makes it easier when you're just getting started to sort of get your feet wet in the touring experience without having to, you know, have your first time out be this really, really ambitious, you know, cross-country schedule kind of thing?
Yeah. A lot of bands, like I said, they build great live business in Austin, not Austin, but Austin and Houston and Dallas and Fort Worth and San Antonio and a lot of the smaller towns. There's a lot of people in Texas. So, yeah, I think that can be an advantage. But the disadvantage of being in Texas is you are, when you do want to go out east, you're so far, you have to really plan a long trip to make it out there, which is why we actually, we based ourselves in Knoxville for 5 weeks this summer. That's where we are right now. And we're living here and touring on the weekends because regionally we can hit all these great markets down into Georgia and the Carolinas and up into Ohio. And there's disadvantages and advantages to the Texas scene. You know, you're isolated, but there is a lot to do there, I guess is the best way to put it.
If people want to get their hands on the record, I imagine you'll have some with you at the Dayton show. But if people are listening outside of the area and want to get their hands on it online, where should they go?
I would go to powwowrecords.com. That's P-A-U-W-A-U records.com. That's a little label in Austin who has been printing our vinyl, and they will ship you one if you'd like to order one. They're the folks that are helping us with that, and they're awesome. And they also have a great catalog of other up-and-coming artists out of Austin who are just amazing.
And if people want to keep tabs on where you're going to be, if you're coming to their city or their region, where should they keep tabs on the band?
I would just check us out on Facebook, The Ghost Wolves on Facebook, or our website, theghostwolves.com. That's definitely, we keep everything up to date there. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We make a point of trying to stay connected with our fans and making sure everybody knows what we're doing. We post lots of pictures. We're traveling with our dogs, and they're in all our pictures running around, and videos, and live videos from shows, and all that stuff. So we're into that. So theghostwolves.com, I guess.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you.
My conversation with Johnny Wolf from the Ghost Wolves. They're going to be playing Friday night, rather, at a South Park Tavern. Todd the Fox joins them on stage. This is member-supported 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, online at WYSO.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. Here's the latest from the Ghost Wolves. This is from their 7-inch. It's called Getcha Hip Thrust.